giving glory and honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I count it a blessing to again teach and proclaim the Word of God to all of the ministers and deacons and everyone that is on the phone making up this assembly. Greetings to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, if you would turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let us read verses 14 through 18 from that 6th chapter in 2 Corinthians. And as usual, I will be reading from the New King James Version. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, reading down to verse 18, reads, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." May God bless the reading of his word. Let us look again at verses 17 and 18. "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And we want to focus a few moments this morning on the theme of be separate. Be separate. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, O God, we live in a season, Lord, where so many in this Western Christian church speaks about increase, speaks about overflow, speaks about all of those things, but you have called us, Lord God, to be separate. And Lord, help us to see through your word what being separate means and how to truly tap into increase and overflow, how to tap into what you would have us to have from a spiritual sense and even a material sense, that you, Lord God, want us to be separate and that you use separation, Lord God, to achieve growth. So, Father God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that your word falls on fertile ground. I pray, Lord God, that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart are indeed acceptable in your sight. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, that we pray. Amen. You know, in reading this passage of Scripture and preparing for this message, Be Separate, I thought about what we have learned through modern science about how God works. And I've used this example before of how human beings are formed, because we are here because of God using separation to achieve our biological and physical growth. You and I are here because of separation. Single sperm had to leave a man, which is separation, before it could join onto an egg within a woman. And what are two separate cells? A sperm and an egg, they join together and they become one cell. And that one cell divides in half, making two cells. And then those two cells divide in half, making four cells. And then those four cells divide in half, resulting in eight cells. And then those eight cells divide in half, resulting in 16. We find that this division of these cells is really separation. And because of all of this separation going on, before you know it, you have growth. What was one cell has become an embryo, and then that becomes a fetus, and then that becomes a baby. All this growth and development is the result of separation taking place first. As I said, I've covered this before with you. And we live in a society that is about having more, getting more, keeping more. It has been said by some in the church that we serve a God of growth, not of decrease. And in a sense, that is true. God wants his kingdom to expand. He wants his church to grow larger. He wants his people to achieve greater. But you must consider how God gets the growth and development that he desires. Because whenever you truly look at how God operates, you will always find that on that pathway to growth, God has always undertaken some amount of separation, some amount of division beforehand. And I've used this example as well before, that even from the beginning of time, when God was at work creating the heavens and the earth, he required first that there be some separation, because when you go back and read the first chapter of Genesis, there is just as much emphasis on God separating things than on God creating and putting things together. Because in the story of creation in Genesis 1, and you don't have to turn there, but there in Genesis 1, God painted a picture of the needed separation that must occur before anyone or anything could experience growth. Even on day one, Genesis 1 and 4, it says that God separated the light from the darkness and called the light day and the darkness night, and that the evening and the morning were the first day. God separated the light from the darkness because God gets the growth by first going through some separation. Even there in the next verse, in verse 5 of Genesis 1, it says that God said, "Let there be a firmament to separate the waters," and that he called the firmament to separate the waters from the waters, and that he called the firmament heaven. And God brought about the firmament to separate the waters because God gets to growth by first going through some separation. And you can keep on going through Genesis and you'll see that God gets to growth by first going through some separation. And so by the time Adam arrives on the scene, so that he could be fruitful and multiply, there has been a series of events involving separation beforehand, because God gets the growth by first going through some separation. And we are made in the image and likeness of God. And I say to you this morning, if you are seeking growth and development in any area of your life, you and I have to first look for that place where there has to be first some separation that needs to take place. Frankly, some of us have not grown because of thinking and people that we should already have been separated from. Because what kind of bad thinking that we have that needs to go? What kind of bad influences that we need, that we have that need to go? What kind of bad habits that we have that need to go? What kind of ineffective processes and procedures and systems that we have that need to go? Because there will always be a separation that has to occur first before the growth comes. And locating what you and I need to separate ourselves from must be part of our planning and preparation for the growth that we want to come later. And that brings us to the passage of Scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where we started reading at verse 14. And you probably know that most people mainly use verse 14 to apply to marriage. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that is true. If you are saved and single, your potential husband or wife should not be an unbeliever. That potential husband or wife needs to be saved before you evaluate anything else. But really, verse 14 here in chapter 6, and the other three verses that follow for that matter, mean much more to us than just don't marry an unbeliever. Because these verses here really apply to any environment where we let the world influence our thinking, influence our way of living. Because when we are being conformed to this world and are not being transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we join with unbelievers in an ungodly way, and sin lies at the door. 2 Corinthians was a letter that was written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a church that was filled with new believers that were immature in their walk with Christ. And Paul was writing them to encourage them to continue their spiritual growth and to give some instruction on how to do it. And that brought Paul to the matter of separation, because these people were still in the world and had to live their life. And just like us today, they needed to know how to live holy in a world that is unholy. And so to paraphrase Paul here, starting with verse 14, he is saying here, in essence, do not team up with those who are unbelievers, because how can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? And then Paul says in verse 16, for we are the temple of the living God. And let me pause on that for a moment, because a temple is a sacred dwelling place of God. The Bible could well have used words here like home of God or house of God or residence of God, but by choosing the word temple, the Bible is conveying the idea that our bodies are the sacred place where God dwells, the place in which the Spirit of God not only lives, but where God is worshipped, where God is revered, and where God is honored. And if a holy God is dwelling there, then it needs to be separate from this holy world, unholy world. And here Paul, he's referring to the church as being the temple of God. If you're part of the church, you are part of the temple of God. Temples are holy places and should be protected against things that might defile the holy place. Therefore, we should protect our hearts and our minds as holy places before the Lord. And there's much that could be said about this with regard to the church as a whole and you and me being the temple of God, but I do want to move on to verses 17 and 18. And let me read it and not paraphrase it. It says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The word separate means different things to different people. But the biblical definition is simple. It means to be set apart. The same Greek word for separate here is translated elsewhere in the scriptures as holy and sanctified. Because being separate is to be holy, sanctified, and set apart. Now, separation does not only include separating yourself from evil, but also includes the attitude of being set apart for service to God. Because you are not just separated from something, you are separated to something. Separation is not first and foremost an outward act. It is an inward attitude of the heart. God commands his people to be separate from the world and be separated to him. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. It's like, and I'll use this example, it's like a cruise ship and its relationship to the ocean. The cruise ship can be in the ocean water, but the ocean water cannot be in the cruise ship, or else the cruise ship will sink. In the same way, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And making the choice to be a committed Christian involves the matter of separation. Following God requires commitment, total commitment. The Lord has saved us from sin and eternal death to serve him, not ourselves. And our loyalty to serving him can cause strife even among family, not because God is angry or spiteful, but because our loyalty to God oftentimes challenges their loyalty to sin. And one thing is for certain. If you are indeed living out the true gospel, it will not be long before you bring offense to someone determined to remain in the rebellion of their sin. And with their offense will come separation. A man cannot accept reconciliation with God and just continue to live in sin. Sin must go. And people determined to live in the darkness of sin hate the presence of the light of holiness. They may start by trying to get you to join in their mess with them, and if that doesn't work, they are uncomfortable because they feel judged by your presence, because your presence is really the presence of the Spirit of God that resides in you. And if you say anything about what they are doing, they just do not want to hear it. And because they do not want to hear it, they lash out. So when you are truly doing what God has asked you to do, do not be surprised when even your closest family connections and friendships are interrupted or disrupted. In fact, if you have been in the church and have been following Jesus, and your lifestyle and choices have never caused an issue with someone around you, then something may be wrong there.
Take control of that.
So let me close noting this. There is a needed separation. That is the lesson of today's message. Be separate. That's the single point. Be separate. If there's anything that you can take away from this message this morning, be separate. Because if you're seeking growth and development in any area of your life, first look for the separation in your life that needs to take place first. If there is sin in your life, look to separate from it and be separated to God. If there is stinking thinking in your life, look to be separate from it and be separated to the kind of thinking that edifies you. If there are bad influences in your life, look to separate from them and be separated to those that are going down the right path toward God. Even the gospel message is one of separation. Separation from sin and separation to God. Because God saw a world that had fallen into sin and that needed separation from sin and separation to himself. Galatians 4 and 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." That was separation. God sending forth his Son into this sinful world. And that Son, Jesus, came down through 42 generations because of the necessity of separation. He separated himself from glory so that we might be separated from sin and separated to the Father. Separation. Jesus literally took up his own cross, not for himself, but for us. He died for us. He was buried for us. He rose from the dead for us, and in doing so, conquered sin, death, and hell for us. And he is coming back again for us. And that is how in the book of Revelation that we can read that John was able to see a number of believers that no man could number. That's the growth. But before there could be any growth, there first had to be the needed separation before the growth could come. And today, the Lord is calling on us to separate ourselves from anything or anyone who would separate us from him. And despite what is going on right now, coronavirus, racial unrest, political unrest, we can still be separated from sin and separated to God. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not any unclean thing, and I will receive you. That is the necessity of separation. While we are not of the world because Jesus came to save us from it, we are still in the world, and our obedience to God must come first. And if that separates us from certain people and places, then it separates, and that's all there is to it. You might ask, well, am I supposed to just cut off my family and friends and stop speaking to them? Am I supposed to just have nothing to do with them? And the answer is no. The answer is to be in the world, but not to be of the world. The answer is to love them from a distance if necessary. The answer is to invite them to come along on this walk with you. The answer is to know that you know that you know that the places that you used to go, you don't go anymore, that the things you used to do that you don't do anymore. Because blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So, brothers and sisters, be separate. And God says that if you do, I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, O God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this time. And God, we just pray, Lord God, that as we leave this call and not your presence, Lord, that you help us to see those things and those people that we must be separated from, and to see how we must be separated to you. God, we thank you because your word gives us direction on how to be separate, how to be in the world but not of the world. And you, by your mighty spirit and by your word, have given us, Lord God, other folks that are walking on this walk, that we can walk together, knowing that though we may be in this world, we are not all of this world. And that we know that at the end, when we have gone the last mile of the way, you have said in your word, I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. We thank you, Lord God, for being able to know you as Father, to know you as our Savior, to know you as the one that has separated us from this world and separated us to you. God, we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.